You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. This episode of GameScoop is brought to you by PUBG Mobile. Come get some. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hadfield. Joining me this week is Tina Amini.
Hello, Scoop.
Sam Claiborne.
Hey, everybody. Last week was really scary.
And Ryan McCaffrey.
Hello.
And we've got a great show for you planned this week. The first show of November 2018. We're going to talk about Diablo 3 on Switch, which Ryan McCaffrey reviewed and I've been playing a bit of. We're going to talk about Super Smash Bros. Ultimate because there's just new news out this morning directly from Nintendo. But first, we have the full lineup for the PlayStation Classic, which is that was released this week. The PlayStation Classic is coming in December, just about a month away. Everyone get a chance to check out this game lineup.
I really like that you put together the IGN average review score for all these,
yeah,
which we couldn't do for the NES Classic.
They're too old, yeah.
They're too old. Yeah, IGN hasn't been around quite that long.
Yeah, yeah. To clarify, I didn't put that together. Someone in the comments did,
Fair enough.
I just retweeted them. But yeah, it was like all 20 games is like an average of 7.8.
7.8.
Yeah. Which maybe is a little low for a game lineup that's supposed to represent this console's lineup.
I mean, I saw universal backlash about this list. Nobody likes it.
Nobody
I don't
likes
know what to think.
I think there are like titles that people like, but overall as a selection that's supposed to be representative of like the PlayStation's first foray into games or whatever, seems like it's a weird amalgamation of choices is the like reception that I've heard.
The value proposition on this one is a little trickier, I think.
$100.
Fewer games than the SNES Classic or NES Classic. So,
But they're bigger games, that's for sure.
That's
to some people, I guess. It's all era specific, right? For me, like NES Classic specifically was the one that just went right to my heart.
Yeah.
Whereas PS Classic, not quite as much for me personally.
I guess it was easier because you have a bunch of titles that are just like, you know, they're like Activision doesn't hold the licenses for some of them, or like there's music licensing issues. There are remasters happening, like with Spyro and Crash Bandicoot, so you can't include those on the list. So there's a lot of like caveats, I guess, that make it a little bit more of a complicated list to choose from.
I think people will also find that, you know, 16-bit games have just aged better than these early 3D.
Although I'm
early
looking
3D
forward
games.
To plugging those into a TV with a good emulator and seeing how they look.
I agree.
Like maybe they'll be cleaned up and I'm starting to feel nostalgic for very funny early 3D graphics. It's just if the game's hard to play, then it's not as fun. Like Star Fox 2 was like that, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is also an opportunity for you, Sam, because the PlayStation was kind of a blind spot for you.
Yeah, but when I looked at the list, like there's very few games on there that people have recommended to me that I have to go back and play. Like I'm not, like, seriously, like I'm not going to play Rayman.
Yeah.
Like I don't care about Rayman.
Everybody loves Rayman.
Except for me.
What about Intelligent Cube?
Apparently. I don't know anything about Intelligent Cube, but you said it's cool. Yeah. There's a Puzzle Fighter on there, right?
Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo is on there.
But like basically, like when I am thinking about the list of games that I missed, it's like, you know, Final Fantasy VIII and
which isn't
Dino
on there.
Crisis.
Dino Crisis is not on there.
Yeah.
And but we have that at your desk now, so.
Yes, we do have Dino Crisis now to play. But Mr. Driller, I hear, is good.
Mr. Driller, which is, you know, a 2D arcade game. Mm-hmm. I'll read the list here in case any of our viewers and listeners haven't checked it out yet.
And then give your personal score for each one.
In alphabetical order, Battle Arena Toshinden, early 3D fighter. Cool Borders 2, snowboarding game. Destruction Derby, I assume it's all there in the title.
What that is?
I'm actually with you. Yeah, I had switched after... when PlayStation came out, I had moved over to mm-hmm. PC gaming. Doom converted mm-hmm. me
yeah.
for many years.
Yeah. So. Klonoa is another one that I really want to play that's not on here.
Not on the list.
Keep going.
Final Fantasy VII is the original Grand Theft Auto, which is interesting. Top down game.
Little Grand Theft Auto.
Intelligent Cube, the puzzle game. Jumping Flash, which was a launch title.
Yeah, I actually think that game's kind of cool.
Pretty cool, weird little game. Metal Gear Solid. Metal Gear Solid, it'll be interesting to play that without the rumble feature of the DualShock. Mr. Driller, like we said, Oddworld Abe's Odyssey, very cool game, but again, a 2D game. Rayman, Resident Evil Director's Cut, Revelations Persona, a Persona game is on the list, which is pretty crazy.
I don't know what that game is.
Well, no, so like that one doesn't even have any of like the dating or socializing thing. So it's like not the most representative of this, or at least not most representative of what the series has become. So it's also another
interesting because it's like a deep Japanese RPG cut. I think that's kind of cool.
I think so.
But Dragon Quest would have been better.
Ridge Racer Type 4.
Of course.
Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo. Siphon Filter.
That's cool.
I would like to revisit that.
I've only played a PSP one.
Yeah. I haven't played that since it was probably first released. Tekken 3, the original Rainbow Six. I don't know how that...
What's that?
Wow.
Yeah, that's the original Rainbow Six.
I can't imagine that's going to go well, I can't imagine it went well at the time on the original PlayStation.
What a weird inclusion.
I mean, it's a very...
Do you think it's more single-player focused?
It was then, and it was really tactical in the beginning. Like, you would plan out your routes of where you wanted to bring your team and, like, how you wanted to breach a building. Maybe that didn't make it into the... Like, I don't know anything about the PlayStation port.
Yeah.
But the PC, original PC version was pretty hardcore.
That's a funny one.
Well, we'll see how that holds up. Finally, it's Twisted Metal and Wild Arms. Wild Arms being another JRPG.
Yeah, that's a big JRPG too, right? Like a cool popular one. So that's cool that it's in there.
Yeah.
Twisted Metal has sequels and stuff like that, but I remember that being like the like party game for a little while.
Yeah.
Well, everyone thought like Twisted Metal 2 was a lot more polished, so that's another one that's been tripping people up as far as I've seen from reactions online.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you know there's only, out of like Metacritic's top 20, there's only 4 on this list?
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, wow. Out of the top 20 PlayStation games?
You got them?
Which one?
Yeah, can you guess which ones?
Which are the 4?
You want me to just tell you and spoil it?
Yeah, just spoil us.
Okay, Tekken 3.
Yep.
Metal Gear Solid, Final Fantasy VII, Resident Evil. Did I list 4?
The original Resident Evil's on there?
Yeah.
So, like, what are some of the top 20 that aren't on there? I have the full list of
Metacritic
it's like
top 20.
Every Final Fantasy.
And this is in order. So, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2, Tekken 3, Gran Turismo, Final Fantasy 9, Chrono Cross, Metal Gear Solid, Gran Turismo 2, Street Fighter Alpha 3, Castlevania, Wipeout, Vagrant Story, Tony Hawk Pro Skater, Final Fantasy 7, Medal of Honor, Parappa the Rapper, which would have been a good inclusion.
Oh, yeah, Parappa. I forgot. Yeah.
But it already got a remaster.
Oh, that's re-release. True. Yeah.
That should matter.
Well,
because there's the virtual console has all the games that are on the NES Classic and the Super NES Classic.
But I guess for $100, like, you want to offer something new for people. Colony Wars, Spyro, Tomb Raider, which a lot of people were upset that Tomb Raider wasn't on there. But then I saw a lot of people also say, well, it hasn't aged well.
Yeah.
And then Resident Evil and Legacy of Kain. That's the top 20.
Legacy of Kain would have been a really interesting one I want to play.
Yeah. So some of those, I understand, licensing issues are going to make it impossible, like Tony Hawk. Yep. But then there's stuff like...
Activision just... they're going to want their cut.
Yeah. but then there's stuff like Chrono Cross. I don't see any reason why that couldn't be on there.
Yeah, that would have been a really cool inclusion.
It was too obvious a choice for Sony.
I guess so.
Now we gotta
the system in the box is enough for me, though. I think it's so cool looking, and I think it's so neat that it's plug and play that I'm all in. It's just...
You're cool with the controllers? The nostalgia aspect is like good enough?
What do you mean?
Because the controllers have just advanced so much, I feel like going backwards technology-wise.
Oh, well,
just the D-pad.
The PlayStation 4 controller isn't that far removed from the PlayStation 1 controller.
Oh, really?
Well, just how it feels. It's not like it's...
Yeah, I guess like grip-wise.
Hold a Genesis controller.
You mean the kidney?
Yeah, it feels insane. It's so much extra plastic and nonsense. And then there's like 3 buttons, and they all do the same thing in Sonic. Every button does the same thing. There's three of them.
I don't know how to operate without the two joysticks, though.
Yeah. Well, I love D-pads and I love Nintendo controllers. The Super Nintendo controller, I think, is perfect. So I think I'm going to be fine with that. Mm. There's two, right?
Two controllers.
So what games are good two-player games?
Well, the fighting games, of course, Tekken 3, Battle Arena Toshinden. And I'm sure, like, Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo is a great two-player game.
And is Mr. Driller a
Mr. Driller? It'll just, like, alternating two players, that sort of thing.
Twisted Metal.
What about, what is it called?
Intelligent Cube. Yeah. I think that's a single-player game. Okay. But I do think there are, like, the remasters and re-releases affect games like Parappa not being on here. And, like, Resident Evil 2 is being remade. Symphony of the Night was just re-released last week, so that's why.
That is weird. What a weird confluence. And then also Spyro, I think you already mentioned.
Yep. Yeah, Crash. I do think
that really cuts. You know, but like, still, like, I don't see why. Like, this is a different thing. It's like you don't have to have a console for it. Yeah. You know,
it's not a con. You don't. Yeah. If there's a lower barrier of entry to this than there is buying a remake of something on PS4.
Yep. It should have just made it like 30 titles, and then the last 10 are bonuses. So throw in a Crash and a Spyro.
Mm-hmm. Maybe unlockables.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Anyway, the PlayStation Classic is out December 3rd. It's $100. People have mixed feelings about it.
Are they still available for pre-order? Like, can you still get one? I know that was the whole thing.
We had a pre-order link this morning.
Okay, so that's.
But I think it goes in and out.
Yeah. Let's move on to Diablo 3 on Switch, which is out tomorrow or probably right now if you are listening to the show. Ryan, you reviewed it. You gave it a 9.
I did, yeah.
It's really good, right? It's the same game. Now it's portable.
So I expected it to play well.
Yeah.
I was, after watching the trailers, when they finally, you know, this game's been rumored for like an eternity. Yeah. And now, and then when it was finally announced, the trailers were like, oh, I don't know, the image quality, like, we'll see about that. It's not necessarily
what year
looking.
Did Diablo come out?
2012.
Yeah.
For the original PC release of Diablo 3.
Okay.
And then in 2014, it came to Xbox One and PS4 with the Reaper of Souls expansion that also added, like, not only new content, but just really, really kind of fixed the game, basically, in a lot of ways.
But a 2012 game should be fine on Switch.
Yeah, and it turns out it is.
Yeah,
but it looks great. It runs great. We had a 4-player online going, which, yes, you do need your Nintendo Online subscription to play online, but there's also in-the-room multiplayer as well.
That you don't need it for?
Correct. Okay. And we could not... We were just all setting off our crazy attacks and special moves. We could not get the frame rate to buckle at all. It was a nice, solid 60 frames a second. It feels great on the Switch in portable mode. Yeah. It's totally fine on the, like on the big TV, we have a 65-inch 4K TV out here in the IGN pit. And so I was playing it on there a bit and like the environments still look really great. The character detail, the characters look, that's where you kind of can see it a little bit. The sort of adjustments they made to make sure it runs well on the Switch hardware. But by and large, this is the complete edition of Diablo 3 because it's got every piece of content ever, including the Necromancer. The Reaper of Souls expansion. So it is Diablo 3 Complete Edition. The actual name of it is the Diablo 3 Eternal Collection.
Mm.
And it still plays great and you can play Diablo anywhere you want, which is, that's a big selling point, but it works.
Is it a good like playing game? I've never even played it. Like that's really good.
I went in thinking, so this was, we kind of designate here, we'll have full reviews, but sometimes we do short reviews too, where it's like, in this case, where it was a port to a new console of something that does exist elsewhere already. And I thought, all right, I'm going to play through Act 1 just to get to Act 2. And, do some multiplayer for sure. That's going to be the big thing to test with this review. I ended up playing into Act 3 because I just couldn't stop myself. Diablo is still so much fun, still so good.
What would be the loop in just a few words? Like, what?
I mean,
what's
fun? Diablo is the, I don't want to say the original, but it's really sort of the quintessential dungeon crawler loot game where you're killing monsters, getting loot, they're dropping items, gold, and it's just that loop of
the reward system.
Yeah, improving your character, just getting better, getting more powerful.
Yeah.
Before you know it, I always play a barbarian, so before long, I'm just like literally leaping around the screen, crushing things, monsters exploding. It's It's like fireworks in video game form.
Yeah,
it seriously looks like that. And I played it at Gamescom, and I personally felt like in handheld mode, it was just a little too busy because Diablo is that. It's fireworks on the screen, especially if you're playing with like three other people. At one point in time, I was just like, where are my people around me? And like, what am I fighting currently? And there's just explosions and colors. And did you feel like it was a lot on the screen when you played?
No, I mean, maybe I'm just used to it, to be fair. Like, you know, if you're sort of coming at it from a little bit of a fresher perspective than I was, you know, multiplayer, you do get the colored P1, P2, P like old school arcade circles.
But it's so small.
It is, yeah, that's fair.
I feel
fair.
Like I go blind looking at it.
But you know, you're basically always the focal point on your screen. So I can respect that for sure.
Yeah.
but yeah, it's like $60. It is $60. It is full price.
I want to point out a lot of the conversation about it is this shouldn't be $60. Mm.
I don't. But it didn't bother me because it has everything. Like the Rise of the Necromancer DLC was $15. Mm. Reaper of Souls was an expansion from a few years ago. So it's got everything in a highly polished, complete portable version. So
does it have cheat codes?
So, because it's, you know, that would have ruined the integrity of multiplayer.
Yeah, and is multiplayer, like, essential?
No, I've spent most of my Diablo career playing solo, certainly with Diablo 3.
But it did have, like, an economy when it launched and stuff like that, so maybe they
that's all, got, I mean, that was all patched out years and years ago.
They wouldn't have put in, that cheap
the auction
would have
house.
Hurt that, right? So, oh, yeah. So then that's probably what
Diablo 1 and 2 were notorious for being, like, cheated and exploited.
Yeah, yeah.
But Diablo 3, had fun with that, not so much, so.
Yeah. Sam just wants to know how many, like, wiki pages he needs.
Well, that's how his brain works.
I'm really happy that Red Dead has cheats in it. It's been really fun. Like, I think it's really cool to allow people to break your game, whether it's Fallout mods or whatever, but I think it's really cool.
But, yeah, I mean, if this was my third, to sum up, this was my third, I'm a triple dipper on when it comes to Diablo 3. Played it on PC originally because I'm a huge Diablo 2 is probably in my top five games ever. Love Diablo 1 as well. And so I was so anxious. It was such a long wait for Diablo 3. And then when it finally came out in 2012, it was flawed. It was not. Act 4 was terrible. There were flaws with it. But when I came at it again on Xbox One.
Right.
With the Reaper of Souls, the stuff I mentioned earlier, it turns out Diablo, I actually think it plays better on a console. It's a rare case where I actually think it plays better with the direct input control and the couch co-op. And now this Switch version, the fact that it's all of that plus portability, it's fantastic.
You don't
miss
hotkeys?
I mean, no, not the way the game's designed. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
So you said it's in your top five. I'm trying to think.
Diablo 2.
What else is in Ryan's top five? Halo 1?
Halo 2, I think, would get the nod, yeah.
Anything older than that?
Doom.
There's got to be
Mario Brothers 3.
Mario 3, yes.
Which Splinter Cell? Which Splinter Cell and where?
Well, Chaos Theory. I don't know if it would quite crack my personal top five.
You only got one more slot.
Yeah, I don't even know. We'd have
no
to.
No Forza?
Not in my that not top here. Five is rarefied air.
Yeah,
I've been playing games for 30 years. Yeah. I'm 38 years old. So
Mario 3, though.
No, definitely Mario 3.
That's the Mario.
Yeah.
But Doom, I always think that's really cool. I know you've done a lot of
Doom was one of those
great one.
Doom was one of those changed my life kind of games. Like not in a grand, like, you know, literal personal way, but as far as my sort of gaming life and gaming perspective,
that's like Bubble Bobble.
Doom
for
was
Damon.
Yeah. Anyway, has been the Ryan McCaffrey segment of Game Scoop. Let's move on to everyone else.
I actually haven't played Diablo 1 or 2. I wish they would dust those off and remaster
those. There have been rumors. There were job postings a while back that for like people to work on making Diablo 2 work on modern PCs. Yeah. And we haven't seen anything of that. But then again, you know, Blizzard takes their time with stuff. So they could just drop at any BlizzCon. Like, hey, you can go play Diablo 2 for free on Battle.net now. So hopefully that'll happen.
We can just wait for the PC Classics system.
The PC Classics.
Such a good idea.
Just like a little mini.
All right. If it runs on, can it run on DOS?
Right now and plan the system.
I still remember all my DOS commands. Like, it's all it's hardwired into my brain.
Oh, my God. What games would be on the PC?
Well, SimCity for sure.
Doom.
SimCity, yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Doom would have to be
Starcraft,
on there.
StarCraft, maybe.
StarCraft.
Well, that's
a good one.
StarCraft 1.
Depends how old you're going.
Old.
Yeah.
Zork has to be on there.
Zork.
You could do it by
there.
Era. You could do it like 80s, 90s. You could do it by decade.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Half-Life.
So we got to make this ourselves now.
What would it be, like the old flat style computer?
You'd have to have
like a tower.
a really cute like giant monitor but miniature version.
I got it. It's a gateway.
Well, for the 90s.
Yeah.
Myst would be on there.
Myst would probably have to be on there.
And then you'd have to have a graphic adventure like Day of the Tentacle.
One of the LucasArts games. Yeah. Secret of Monkey Island. King's Quest. Sam and Max. Yeah.
Oh, man. Now I really want the PC Mini to be a thing.
Minesweeper. Yeah. Solitaire.
That's a good idea. All right. Okay, moving on. I think now we know the full roster, the launch roster for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Is that right?
We do.
We do know that. There's 74 characters. If
no Banjo.
No Banjo. Or the Grinch.
What happened? When the rumor was that Banjo was going to be in it, there's the Grinch another one?
Yeah, that was That's people good. Thought the Grinch was going to be in it.
When I heard like Banjo could be in it, there was like some talk about like how Microsoft would allow that or why that would happen.
Phil would go, yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
For sure, right? And then I started thinking like, what if the announcement is going to be that Smash is on Xbox also?
That would be a boon for Xbox, that's for sure.
It'd be really cool.
Yeah, so we know that the launch lineup, and there's going to be a DLC plan where I think like five additional characters and stages released over the next year.
And you're
going to
name them all right now.
And here we go. No, we don't know what they are. But I'm actually more interested in this new single-player adventure mode called World of Light. There's a trailer for just that mode alone. Check it out if you haven't
yet. Well, it's more of a music video.
It's a music video for World of Light, yeah. But I think the idea is that they've all been sort of, all the characters have been sort of like destroyed and turned into dark versions.
Infinity gauntleted.
Dark versions of themselves. And then Kirby's the only one who survives. So you start out as Kirby. The way I understand it is you have to defeat all the other fighters one by one. And as you defeat them, you can play as them to unlock new areas of this overworld map that you're traveling. It looks really cool.
Like kind of like hand done in like kind of a stylized
painterly.
But then their characters don't look very good, I didn't think. Like
the CGI
faces.
Characters in the trailer I didn't think looked very good.
I do genuinely appreciate this mode though, because I've been like, I just don't have the way my life is with how busy everything is, I don't have time to play online a lot or really have like I don't really have a Smash community, so the idea that I could jump in and have like a fairly meaty single player experience, that really appeals to me.
Yeah, same.
Did you hear who's unlocked from the start?
Well, it's Kirby.
The Nintendo 64. In the game, when you get your first character menu, it's only the Nintendo 64 character is unlocked.
Oh, you have to unlock all the other characters.
You have to unlock all.
Well,
the
I
characters.
Like that.
That's cool. Isn't I like. That?
I do like.
And
that,
And I
yeah.
think this they haven't said this yet, but I think the single player mode will probably be the way you do that. Hmm. But usually, there's like all kinds of weird stuff. Like as soon as you know Mario jumps 85 times over something, then you unlock Luigi. There's like weird stuff like that.
But do you think people will be annoyed by that? Like they just want they buy the game and they want to play as their favorite character, but they have to go through the process.
That's
of unlocking
why you
them?
Should include a cheat code to unlock all characters. Cheat codes.
I'm excited for this mode. Like Ryan was saying, I love Nintendo, so I love all the fan service that's in Smash Brothers. But I'm just not much of a multiplayer guy. So like now I have my own whole single player mode that I can enjoy all the fan service that's in there. It's pretty cool.
Isn't there didn't they name the main villain too? Because they confirmed
it was a ton of hands, and then there was that rainbow that rainbow thing.
Yeah, I think the confirmed bosses are like Rathalos, Master Hand, and then Gleam is the name of the main villain.
What's its story?
I don't know. They just said like something like your main fiend is Gleam and Kirby on the page.
Maybe it is Kirby.
Maybe it is Kirby. It's negative Kirby.
I'm all about the piranha plant, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you buy it.
The goofiest thing.
That might be my
buy
new
it before main. January, you get piranha plant.
Yeah. Like, can you move or are you just situated in one place and your head just.
Yeah, because there's characters like Rob and stuff that, like, kind of hover.
Yeah.
So I guess, like, this
how do
is
you
just
move?
Be, like,
yeah.
Just
I guess
move
you
around.
Just
roots.
Pop out and, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Little roots. Yeah. Little legs.
I didn't look close enough, but there's a lot of video of it.
It's cool that that's in there. All right, now what do we think about this news? EA said this week that Respawn has two games coming by the end of 2019. We know they're doing this Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order game, and we also know they've been working on Titanfall 3, so those must be the two games.
Sure.
Are you surprised that they would be coming next year?
Yeah, and I hope Titanfall 3 is a Metroidvania that's 2D.
Well,
can we get working on
that? I don't
that?
Want you to get
well,
your hopes up.
I don't think that's going to happen. Okay. I'm sorry to say.
I was surprised at first till I looked at the calendar, and Titanfall 2 was fall of 2016.
Yeah, so 2 years.
So it'll be three years. Yeah. Or potentially, depending on when in 2019 it releases, even if 2.5, if the game comes out in May, which that would be great because then it stands less of a chance of getting crushed by the other fall first-person shooters, which is what happened to Titanfall 2. despite the fact that Titanfall 2 is, in my opinion, way better than either of them. It's not to say the others were bad, but so you know, it's an acceptable window of development time for them to have done Titanfall 3, and then the Star Wars game, they've been developing that for. So when I went
How
there,
is there a Star Wars game that's not canceled? It's amazing.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's
there's time yet,
And the new movie comes out next year.
That's true.
That's true.
When is that in May? Or is that all the way until the
winter? December. Yeah, it's December.
So this is probably going to align with that.
That would make the most sense. Yeah. Although next year we're due for a Battlefront game. So I don't know if they would do two in the window.
Yeah, that's a
good point. DICE tends to be more clockwork-ish. Mm-hmm. They've been developing this Jedi game for a while because when I went to Respawn to do some sort of shoot for IGN, I think, and it was shortly before Titanfall 2 came out. So it was, it was the fall of 2016, and they had a wing of the building that was locked off.
Yeah,
that they told me you can't go.
Did the door open, and you heard like a bunch of Hoth speeder sounds and stuff?
No, but it was definitely the Star Wars team over there. So they've been in the works for a while. Yeah.
Don't we know next to nothing about that game?
Other than it's a third-person action game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
when did
the name come out?
E3. Remember when they weirdly went to
Vegas
in the audience?
That's right, yeah.
Sort of crowbarred that into their
presence. That's all we have then.
That's it.
And well, now we have, but now we have a release year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What is pretty exciting.
Respawn, before it did, it got famous for Titanfall or whatever, was it doing Call of Duty games?
The core of Respawn was formed, it's Vince Zampella and at the time Jason West. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, remember when there was the whole scandal with Activision and Infinity Ward, and they sued each other, and they Vince and Jason left. They were the co-founders and took literally half or more of the team with them to Respawn, the aptly named Respawn Entertainment. So yeah, they left to start Titanfall. Star Wars would be their first non-Titanfall release.
Okay, so that would mean that a lot of their resources has been put into first-person combat-y games.
Yeah, on the Source engine. Mm-hmm. That game's built off of Valve Half-Life tech.
So, I mean, even if that's if it's not, I hope that's kind of what it is, because I know there's what's the Star Wars series where you're...
Jedi Knight?
Yes, Jedi Knight. Not Jedi Knight. The one where you're Stormtrooper-based and you fight in Stormtrooper place. Jared loves it.
Is it Dark Forces? Or is that Jedi Knight?
Well, Dark Forces
is... Maybe that's just what it is.
Jedi Knight 2?
Jedi Knight is Dark Forces 2.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's very confusing. Yeah.
But, if it's like a shootery...
That should also be on the PC Mini, I think.
Yeah.
Yes. Dark Forces was a difficult game, too. It got tough by the end.
That was Doom-like, right?
Let's put Soldier of Fortune on the PC Mini, too.
That's not even Raven's best game. I mean, Heretic was a better game. Hexen was a better game.
Would you put Lemmings on it?
Oh, yeah. Love Lemmings.
I love Lemmings.
I'm a little surprised that Respawn is big enough to make two big AAA games at the same time.
Well, they've got a second team. That's the thing. Yeah. That Star Wars team that they wouldn't allow me access to when I was there.
That's
a whole second team.
The wing.
Yeah. The X-Wing.
The X-Wing.
Have we heard anything about DICE working on a Battlefront 3? Is that even a known thing?
No, I am assuming. Okay. I know what assuming does, but I mean, come on. They have a contract with EA, with Lucas to make Star Wars games for 10 years.
We're five years through.
The clock's a ticking.
Yeah, what did we say last week? We're 5 years through.
And they've only released two Battlefront games.
Yeah.
And
we know how the last one went over.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe they want a little bit more distance between the next one.
It's not impossible. I mean, that could very well be. They may decide, let's go with Respawn's game this Christmas, and then we'll give DICE an extra year. That could very well happen.
Because they've got...
Let the internet forget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Battlefield is out this year, this month. So it could be that next year they've got this Star Wars game that's a little bit more single-player focused, and maybe they want to build out Titanfall to be their multiplayer shooter effort for next fall.
Oh, not next fall. God, let's not. Please, EA, don't do this again. You know you're going to get a Call of Duty next year. So it's let's not repeat the mistakes of history.
I think EA's 2019 is sort of coming into shape. They've got Anthem on February 22nd.
Yes.
The Battle Royale mode for Battlefield 5 will be next spring.
Firestorm.
Sea of Solitude is supposed to be an early 2019 game.
Excellent.
I bet we'll get the release date for that at the Game Awards. Mm-hmm. Then at E3, they'll have some sort of Unravel 2 smallish game that's like, and it's available now.
EA original.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Their sports games drop in September.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Titanfall 3 in October and then Star Wars in November. Right. Yeah,
you might be on the money with
that's
that.
That's all they do. You know?
Their whole year, yeah.
They do like 15 games a year, so that would make total sense.
Yeah,
so.
But that's, we'll see about Battlefront.
That's a unknown quantity at this point.
Experience the mobile game IGN calls a remarkable technical achievement. PUBG Mobile is the official mobile version of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. Enjoy eye-popping graphics, super smooth controls, and a variety of exciting play modes. Parachute onto a remote island for a winner-takes-all showdown. Survive pulse-pounding 100-player battles on a remote island filled with danger and opportunity. Make your way through sprawling rural and urban environments as you scavenge weapons, vehicles, and supplies inside a relentless, shrinking battle zone. Mix it up with different play modes that include teaming with up to three other players in squad matches. Drop in, gear up, and stay alive as long as you can. No Techie declares PUBG Mobile the daddy of Battle Royale. Defeat every player, stay in the zone, and before you know it, you'll be shouting your victory cry, winner, winner, chicken dinner. Download the official mobile version of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds for free. Go to your Android or iOS app store and type PUBG Mobile. Collect a special reward using the link and promo code provided in the episode description. Play now.
All right, now it's time for a new feature that I haven't come up with a name for yet, but I thought it would be fun to revisit older IGN reviews when a game is re-released, like Castlevania Symphony of the Night. So I've dug out IGN's...
But first.
I've dug out IGN's 1997 review of Castlevania Symphony of the Night, reviewed by IGN staff. And this might have been...
Staff? Yeah. This wasn't done later. This was done in 97.
This is 97, which is probably pre-IGN. This is probably like PSX.com or whatever that was back then.
Yeah, there's a couple different satellite sites that got mashed together.
But we still have this review, so I have some selections from it. Our strapline is, Konami resurrects the classic Castlevania franchise and proves that it's not how it looks, it's how it plays.
Okay, I remember reading this with you recently. Yeah, I hated the graphics.
It reads, the game series has always been renowned for its incredible design, hidden secrets, outstanding visuals, and top-quality gameplay, so it was with much anticipation that I loaded this all-new 32-bit version.
They're saying all that about Castlevania, and all that's come out is like Castlevania 1, 2, 3, 4.
I really think in the future you should have Dan Stapleton on this segment, because he'll be editing this on the fly.
Live editing it, yeah.
But I think it's really funny, like a series known for all this. I was playing Simon's Quest yesterday,
yeah,
and that game's a mess, but I love it.
You can't get to Dracula's Castle.
Yeah, I couldn't get to Dracula's Castle.
It continues, my first impression was one of immense disappointment. It looks like the same old 2D platform action as before. The graphics are initially similar looking to SNES and Genesis incarnations of the game. The character animation isn't particularly smooth, and 3D is resigned to limited background effects and the odd special effect. Apart from the various PSX arcade compilations out there, games don't look much more retro than this.
Wow. I gotta have 3D.
I know. Fast forward to today when Dead Cells comes out. We're like, this game looks amazing.
Totally. Dude, the strapline should have been a miserable pile of secrets.
Well, he didn't know that yet. How could he make that the strapline?
Well, it's for this game.
It continues, but knowing the age-old maxim that it's not how it looks, it's how it plays that matters, I started to play and played and played. The proverb, don't judge a book by its cover, has never been truer than with this game. Castlevania Symphony of the Night is a classic.
Aww.
They're right about that. Nice. Featuring the same type of gameplay and plot premise of previous titles, but taking them to a whole new level of depth, this is an awesome game deserving a veritable thesaurus of praise for its top-notch platforming action. And once you get over the shock that this is a retro 2D game, you begin to really appreciate the detail and subtleties of the graphics. They're not in-your-face effects-laden super lens flare 3D eye candy. Instead, they're gothic, atmospheric, and when it comes down to it, they perfectly suit the game. All those things work together to create what is one of the finest 2D platform games seen yet. It takes up the mantle of 16-bit classics like Super Metroid, Super Mario, and of course, other Castlevania games, and goes beyond the restrictions of cartridge memory to reach new heights of depth and quality gameplay. And if you cherish that over snazzy 3D graphics, and to be honest, if you don't, then you're missing the point of video games, buying this will make you happier than a pig in poo.
What's the slam against cartridges you got in there?
Because the PlayStation was disc
cartridges. Yeah, you got their disc. Storage
all about
issues.
That 650 megabytes of CD-ROM storage.
And we gave it a 9 in 1997.
9 but ugly.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because like that kind of sentiment towards a game doesn't really hold up anymore because we do... I mean, it's weird because it's contradictory.
Yeah.
IGN staff at that time... was sort of like lambasting it for the graphics, but then also saying like it's not as important. So I don't really know what to think. But these days we think it's incredibly important, but we just don't admonish things for being retro.
Yeah.
Like, very confusing. That was an emotional roller coaster.
We needed some distance from 2D games which was that distance was like a bunch of shitty 3D games.
Yeah.
You know, to like actually come back and say, and oh, there's them, games that we respect from that. Mm-hmm. But Nintendo kept making 2D games because they had the Game Boy Advance.
Yes.
So during the GameCube era and stuff like that, we got like Metroid Fusion, Metroid Zero Mission.
And all those and more Castlevania games.
And all the Castlevanias.
Golden Sun.
And Golden Sun. Yeah, this is like a very influential moment, I think, to say like, we can keep making 2D games.
Yeah.
And thank goodness they still are made because I very much like them.
Yeah, me too. All right, it is November 1st. That means it's time to take a stroll to our retro magazine rack. In this episode, we have the November 1998 issue of Nintendo Power. November 1998 was the month that The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time was released.
Also Half-Life.
And also Half-Life. But Nintendo Power didn't cover Half-Life.
They didn't cover that. Look how thick that magazine is.
It's the thickest issue ever.
138 pages. Plus, there's a Pokemon was like just new, a brand new thing. So there's a whole like collector's little tiny magazine for Pokemon. They call
it
Pokemon Power.
Nice.
That's really cool.
Because they had to introduce people to Pokemon.
Yeah, I worked in magazines for so long, and seeing that makes me happy.
Yeah. So of course, this issue is all about Ocarina of Time. I remember this ad, the
Ye Snooze, Ye Lose.
Ye Snooze, Ye Lose ad, trying to get people to pre-order the golden cartridge.
See, they don't like lean into like old-timey phrasing and like Middle English ever with Zelda, so it's weird to see that.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, it's a fantasy game.
It's a medieval game.
Yeah, it's so silly.
It's also an ad for Pokemon, the original Pokemon.
That's cool.
It's pretty good.
Wow, we still use that phrase, except instead of got ya, it's got 'em.
For what?
It's like, I don't know, just a, it's just
what
a
people
thing
say?
People throw around, yeah.
In the player's pulse, the letters section, there's a there's a letter that asks, why do the pictures I print from my Game Boy printer fade? Aww. That came from Max.
So it's like the ink is so cheap that like it's out in the sun for 3 hours and it starts to fade.
Yeah, the answer is instead of using ink, the Game Boy printer heat transfers images onto its special thermal paper, which, if you touch too much, can cause your pictures to fade. To save yourself the worries.
Touching your pictures.
Avoid excessive handling of the heat-sensitive paper.
That's weird. What it's a strange technological moment that was.
This is from William. They say, my friends say that other systems are better than the Nintendo 64 because they can display cool video cutscenes. I don't have any doubt the N64 is the best system out there, but I wonder why Nintendo does not put full motion videos in its games. Is it because of the space?
This brings me back to an IGN review I just read.
Nintendo Power says, FMV scenes are no stranger to Nintendo 64 games. Just look at the intro and two finales in Banjo-Kazooie or the multiple endings in Mortal Kombat 4. I think they're confusing what FMV... Because Banjo-Kazooie doesn't have any FMV.
No. Engine.
It's just, yeah, it's like a... It's not full motion video.
Well, right? We'll have to beat Mortal Kombat 4 to see how they did it.
Yeah. I think they're mistaken about that.
The multiple endings of Mortal Kombat 4?
Yeah. This reader was so excited about the impending release of Ocarina of Time that they wrote the Ocarina of Rhyme.
Okay.
And it goes, let's people are waiting, holding vigils at the store, waiting for the arrival of Zelda 64. There they are shivering from head to toe in anticipation of the genius of Shigeru Miyamoto. For the land of Hyrule is a magical place. Players move around in perfect 3D space. They can meet local villagers and see their smiles or go to a field and see for miles. Now the release date has been set. I hope this release date can be met. For us, there is a lesson to be learned that true life begins on November 23rd.
Wow. Can I let you guys in on a little secret? Yeah. I'm going to bet lunch that that was written by one of the editors.
You think so?
So when
is this a dirty little secret?
I did. Yeah. So I ran the letter section for a while. And if especially in like the pre email, before people could easily get a hold of you, if you didn't get enough like good letters in a month, make them up.
Oh boy.
Make them up.
Man,
shattered. First I've ever heard of that.
Yeah.
That's great. Man. Did you have to do the letter art too?
It's not as accessible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you write design all the letter art? That's pretty good.
Yeah. Did you do?
No,
like,
I didn't do
envelopes?
That. I'm not that talented.
I want to
I'm going to make the best Pikachu ever.
I want our listeners and viewers to know I have never made up a letter for this show.
And Big Tony style does exist.
He exists. We have an ad for Body Harvest on the Nintendo 64, and they have some quotes from some outlets like Next Generation Online, GamePro, and ING64.com. This says ING.
For your finance needs.
ING64.com.
Did you approve that quote?
Yeah, I went back in time and I let them know.
So when we get stuff like this, we now we get emailed and they politely ask, can we use a quote from your review? And sometimes there's some funny business in there. It'll be like, we said like impossibly good, but it actually said impossibly bad, but good thing I'm not going to play this.
Yeah, exactly. It's the ellipses, I guess. Yeah.
Well, Nintendo Power is not around anymore for us to sue them.
Neither is ING64.
So I think we should sue Nintendo Force.
Let's not do that.
On page 44,
has really good posters. Shout out. Yeah, that's true.
On page 44, it's our first of many appearances in this issue of Superman 64.
Oh man!
Largely believed to be one of the worst games of all time, because once again, there's a centerfold in this issue, and it is Superman 64.
Well, the other ad is appropriate because he actually looks pretty angry in there.
Yeah. He knows what he did.
What's coming.
There's a little banjo.
Yeah, there's a whole spread on banjo in here. They introduced the Game Boy Color. Did you know the Game Boy Color came out the same month as Ocarina of Time?
Wow.
Well, and Pokemon, right?
Like, well, Pokemon, it was there. I didn't realize it. They were coming out at the same time.
That's they're showing the reissue of the Zelda game,
which is Link's Awakening.
Link's Awakening. Yeah.
There's this whole spread on the Game Boy Color and about how it has different color modes, right? You can change the different colors. And
revolutionary.
And then they're talking about the games that are going to be on the Game Boy Color, like Carrot Crazy, which is another Bugs Bunny Crazy Castle game. Yeah.
Okay.
Shadowgate Classics, which I love. Mortal Kombat 4, which we were just talking about, yeah.
On Game Boy.
Gex 3D. Lots of really good ones on here. Pitfall. And Pitfall 3D. And this isn't 3D in the slightest.
It's called 3D?
They call it Pitfall 3D.
Okay.
No, yeah. Not actually 3D. And a preview of Superman 64. I tell you, it's all over this issue. If only people knew what they were in store for. I like this. On page 95 is an ad for Sears. This is a Sears ad, which just went into bankruptcy.
That thing there is a little Pokemon handheld, and I was just looking this up the other day because I'm really interested. They made two different Tamagotchi knockoffs with like keeping Pikachu alive and healthy, and I haven't ever seen those. I really want to see this.
They should bring it back. Tamagotchi is still popular.
On page 122, they review Ocarina of Time. So in Nintendo Power's review of Ocarina of Time,
they
gave it a 9.5 total, like average.
That's it?
They did the EGM thing where they had five different reviewers. So check this out. Ocarina of Time, the different reviewers gave it a 10, 9, 9, 9.5, and an 8. One of these guys thought it was an 8.
Are they named?
No, they just have initials.
So you'd have to go back to the
protect,
staff page.
To protect their families.
What's the comment from Mr. and Mrs. 8?
No, they don't get their own specific comments. But so they rate the game on graphics, play control, game design, satisfaction, sound, and then their comments. On satisfaction, they said, "You've got to love this game."
That's not a critique. That's a demand.
Tina, you've got to love this game.
You've got to love this game.
What did I want?
You've got to love it.
Oh, and then they also.
To be fair, I can't rate games on satisfaction. That's a ridiculous
way to rate. Yeah, that's a really interesting metric. We should tell Dan.
Yeah.
They also reviewed the Game Boy Color. They gave it an 8.5. Although they have nothing but glowing things to say about it. They say, developers are lining up to make games for this system. The golden age of Game Boy is at hand. All I can say is that I'm stoked. Definitely one of Nintendo's greatest accomplishments. Game Boy has become a man. 8.5.
I'm sorry, Game Boy has become a man?
That's Nintendo Power. 1998.
Because it's a play on Game Boy?
Yeah.
So
Game Man.
Here's
Game
a little behind the scenes
Game
thing.
Man.
At magazines, sometimes when they need to review a game and they just don't have enough time, they just have people that would normally write letters to them review the game.
Yeah, that's true. Which is why sometimes they don't get enough letters because those people are busy.
They're busy reviewing
the games.
That's why. It makes sense now.
And that brings us to Video Game 20 Questions. But first, our suggestion comes from Mark in Stourbridge, UK. And he has a question first before we get to his game suggestion. He says, I love the segments of the show looking at old gaming magazines, which I too adored as a child. However, in a pre-internet era, we were oblivious to the inaccurate information. It didn't really matter what they printed. What is the process for IGN publishing articles now, and how much fact-checking and Q&A do you have to go through?
QA.
Quality and assurance. I think it's usually, would you say, Tina, it's up to the individual editors are expected to do their due diligence.
Right? Yeah, exactly. I mean, it depends on the, I guess it depends on the article. Like if it's a news post, there's an editor that normally oversees that kind of thing. There's editors for each section. Like Ryan will look over all of our preview content. Dan will look over all of our review content. So it's up to the writer and the editor in that process, in the editing process. But it's so much easier now that it's the internet, because you could just go back and edit whatever has been factually incorrect and do a little update. Like, we got this one wrong, or there's a new statement or whatever else. Especially these days where news is so developing in such a quick, rapid way. So we can just go back and constantly update, which is nice. But yeah, magazine world was tough, because I also come from the magazine world, and you just had to get it right.
Yeah, once well, the magazine goes to
or
bed,
or if you
that's
didn't,
it.
It's
yeah.
just like, well, I guess there's nothing we can do about it now. Yeah.
But it goes through, like, in the magazine world, it goes through a meticulous editing process. Like, three different people will read
at
something.
At least,
yeah. yeah. And well, you deliberate over it for, like, a month before.
I would say three would be the minimum. Five would be five revisions before something's done would be more normal.
So you were working in magazines in the 2000s?
2002 to when I came here in 2012.
I'm sure their quality assurance had improved greatly, because, like, when we read some of these old magazines from, like, the early 90s, I don't think anybody was checking any of that stuff.
Yeah, I can't speak to those.
It also depends on the publisher. So, like, I started off as an intern at Condé Nast, like, various, like, Wired and Condé Nast Traveler. And as an intern, it was my duty to do fact-checking. So for Traveler, I'd be calling up hotels and resorts and whatever else and asking them a billion questions and fact-checking all of this stuff for everyone else.
That's cool. That sounds like it'd be kind of, like, fun and, like, enjoyable.
You do learn a lot, but, yeah, it's not the most fun. Like, I prefer to write the articles and have someone else do my grunt work. But, you know, you got to
start
somewhere.
Start at the bottom.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere. Exactly.
All right. That brings us to our video game 20 questions round. It comes from Mark Starbridge in the UK.
Hint.
Let the questioning begin.
So maybe it's going to be a Rare game.
Yeah. Was this game developed in Japan?
No.
Sounds like Banjo-Kazooie.
I think we just go ahead and guess. We're already there. Was this game released before the year 2000?
No.
Okay. Is it a platform exclusive?
No.
All right.
Is this a game with 3D graphics?
Yes.
Okay, so
eliminates
2000 or year 2000 or newer, 3D, multi-platform. Not developed in Japan.
Does it have multiplayer?
No.
Is it part of a franchise?
Yes.
Makes it harder.
Yeah.
Was it released during or after the year 2010?
During or after the year 2010, yes.
Okay, so we're looking at something newer, this generation or last. Well, the second half, the back half of last.
Is this based on a license that's not a video game?
No.
So it's part of a franchise.
There's so many games that fit all the things.
Yeah,
that we've
of got. Course.
I mean, it's great that we've gotten these answers. It's just like, to narrow this down is going to be really tough. Do you kill stuff in this game?
No.
It's nice.
What franchises do you not murder stuff?
A lot of Nintendo ones, but those are rare, you know, rarely not made in Japan. And
is it a puzzle game?
Not in like the strictest sense.
Okay, in the genre sense of the word.
There are puzzles in the game, but it's not a puzzle game, and that's 10.
Okay.
All right, so it could be.
Do you?
It's not an. It's not a adventure game, probably.
Yeah, it sounds. Is it a platformer? A 3D platformer?
No.
I think we need to get a genre or we're never going to get it. That's the situation usually at question 10 if we're at a point like this. Genre or get rid
you
of
you want to narrow down genre?
Yeah, or we get really lucky. Yeah. It's good to know that it has puzzle elements.
Portal,
and it's not a platformer.
Mm-hmm. Portal is a puzzle game.
Totally.
So he's.
I was thinking Portal.
Yeah.
But it's. I think it. I mean, it's not in the strict sense of the word a puzzle, but. What
sure, it is. It's like the whole game is puzzle.
In Gaiman's description,
not like a classic.
It has puzzles.
Yeah.
But so does Half-Life 2, you know.
Yeah. Does the game take place in the first-person perspective?
No.
Okay.
There you go.
That helps.
Yeah.
Not first-person.
No killing, but there are puzzles.
Yeah. Is this... we get publisher down, too. That would be really helpful.
Not made in Japan, so you can probably eliminate.
So it's not Capcom, Konami, and,
yeah, Square.
Stuff like that.
Well, not.
Or we could say, is the developer still around? That's a helpful one.
All right.
Is the developer still around?
Yes.
Okay. So.
And he did say developer, not publisher. So the developer is still around. Okay.
Yes.
That's cool. All right. That limits it.
Does it?
We're down to, all right, we got seven left.
Be,
yeah.
It could be Ubisoft, EA.
So, yeah.
There's not that many companies. I mean, that's it could be an Activision.
Game. Yeah. Sorry?
It could be smaller, though. It could be like a PC game that's on everything, whatever. Angry Birds. What do we do from here?
Should we ask if you play as like a human or something?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Do you play as a human?
Yes.
Okay.
See, that's not helpful, though.
Yeah, because most things you play as a human.
It's just hard because like these are we have it narrowed down to a huge amount of games.
Yeah, it's a puzzle franchise in the third person perspective where you're
as puzzles. I don't think we can go full puzzle for it.
But you don't kill anybody. What else do you do in games?
Yeah, that's helpful. It doesn't like have racing. Multiplayer. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Is there a version of this game? It's a game of the series on the Switch now.
No.
We always ask the was it well received question.
Yeah,
but that still doesn't narrow it down. We need to get serious. We have five more, right?
Five left.
It's in a franchise. That's the part that's sort of
and it's not
it's giving
Switch.
Me pause.
Something hasn't been ported to Switch is like that's pretty helpful, but it's still very
Fruit Ninja. No, you play as a human in third person. Just throwing out random
3D graphics.
Yeah.
But something like that might really match this, you know.
Like if you go publisher by publisher, like every Assassin's Creed game, you're killing things.
Yeah.
Splinter Cell, Ghost Recon, any Tom Clancy, anything, you're killing things.
So is it just not Ubisoft?
Oh, we ask if it's an indie game.
Yeah.
But
does that help?
But
because if it's an indie game, I think we're getting closer.
But like I don't know the fact that it's part of a franchise.
That's true.
Kind of,
most
limits that. So I feel like it's not an indie game. So I feel like
is it an indie game?
By indie game, Do you mean
this is so helpful?
Oh boy!
Hold on. Okay. By indie game, do you mean it like was not published by a big publisher?
Okay, so it's like a Sony.
I don't get why you'd have to clarify this.
I do. It's a legitimate follow up.
Yeah, because it's not like because your publisher can still make you not indie. So that's
like,
what it
Bungie
is.
Bungie is technically an indie developer that an Activision publishes.
Oh my god!
It's like
what? Come or on! Like, or look that, at, it's true.
Or think about like Cuphead. Like that game was published by Microsoft, right? So is it still an indie game?
No, you play
game?
As a human.
So it's like, so I'm trying to.
All right, so
get your definition of indie.
It would have to be developed by. Well, yeah, it can't be published by like a giant company.
Then no.
Wait, so it wasn't published by a publisher?
He's saying a
so
big
it is like
publisher
a Bungie or something.
A smaller developer's game.
That's okay. So it was. So yeah, I mean, if it was a franchise,
I'm saying it's not an indie game by Sam's definition.
Yes.
Okay.
That's kind of cool. Then it's like a smaller thing that's gotten sequels. That's been and it's puzzly and could be like Professor Layton. How's Japan?
Scribblenauts.
Scribblenauts we've had before, but it'd be fun to do it again.
Actually, there is a version of Scribblenauts on the Switch, though, and you already asked.
Oh, that's cool. That's good to know.
Do you play as a? Is that a human?
Yeah, you're what's his name?
Cartoon human.
I forget his name.
He got a rooster hat.
He has a name, and I can't remember what
does.
It is.
He does. I guess Dave. He looks human-like. Could it be then?
It's on Switch. You said there's a
There was a recent Scribblenauts that I'm almost positive came out on Switch.
This is tough.
I don't know where to go from here. We could ask about the graphical style because we can get lucky if it's like cel-shaded, you know?
Right, right.
Or we can keep on going with.
You wear a hat.
Yeah, we
Justin's
could.
Justin's question.
Ask that.
My goodness. Should we narrow down the time frame further?
Yeah, that would be helpful.
So we already know it's after 2010. Was it?
So current gen.
Was it released?
Oh, yeah, you could just ask if it's current gen.
Yeah.
Was it released on the current generation of hardware?
Yes.
Whoa. Got three more, guys.
That's actually kind of crazy.
It's not. Oh,
and it's not on Switch.
Yeah.
WTF.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that means, could it be like, when he says multi-platform, it could be on Xbox and PC.
That's true.
And are there indie games that are published by Microsoft?
Could it be No Man's Sky? No, that's third-person perspective.
It's a good one.
No, because it's third-person perspective.
You don't kill things. Well, actually, no, oh, yeah, you do shoot.
Oh, yeah, you can switch.
You shoot the creatures. You're like,
but he said no to first-person, so that kind of.
But it wasn't first-person
originally.
And
yeah, they're a creature.
That's a really good one.
Yeah, it feels like it fits.
But there's
a lot
not really
of those.
Puzzles in it. It kind of is. But that would be a really good example because the publisher was originally Sony, right?
Mm-hmm.
True.
So are there Microsoft games like that?
I mean, you have Inside.
Inside.
That has puzzles.
But it's not 3D, or it's not. You said it's 3D.
Oh, it's not part of a franchise though, because it's not directly connected to
No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
Is not part of a franchise.
That's true.
Either.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's really tough. I don't think we're going to get this one.
Yeah.
But we got really close.
Are you determining that? I don't know. Yeah.
We? I don't know about that.
Well,
that.
By that, I mean we're really close to this game being over.
True.
Three questions.
Okay. Was this well received?
Yes.
Doesn't help.
So it's a game we probably liked.
Maybe. That's and we should help. Remember it if it's part of a franchise and not some one-off thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So...
Man,
it's not Spider-Man. It's not. It's not Gears or Halo or. I mean, those aren't.
Yeah, no,
it's just it's a smaller. I can feel it's like a smaller game that may have been published by somebody bigger. It's got to be something like No Man's Sky.
Wait, did we say is it? Did we get it? If it's 3D?
Yeah, it's 3D.
It is. Mm. So it's not Fez.
Yeah, there's like.
Although that was last gen anyway.
What are all the Bastion games and stuff like that? Are there any sequels in there?
Not sequels, but yeah, that's true. That's right. The franchise thing keeps coming back to that.
There's nothing in there. I don't know what to do.
I'm stuck.
Is it Guacamelee? I'm not gonna. I'm not asking that, but
3D.
I'm just.
Yeah. There's fighting.
There's two of those. It's like you try to
there
think of indie
of
games with
least.
Sequels
yeah, yeah.
that are multi-platform.
Overcooked.
That have a big Switch. Publisher behind
you. You don't kill anything in Overcooked.
Multiplayer.
It's already dead.
It's on Switch. It's already dead.
You got a question and a guess.
So
all right. Because we're not going to get it. What's going to be our final question?
I don't know. Nothing's going to help at this point.
Do you play as a woman?
Yes.
Oh. What a shot in the dark.
Are we going to get this?
All right.
Oh,
you got
it,
a guess.
Tomb Raider, Lara murder
is it
stuff.
Yeah, it's slipping Tomb my memory, Raider, but what's
she,
the
she kills.
What's the one where you're like flying around and it's like really it's totally similar. Oh no, it was like on
oh,
PSP
Gravity
original.
Rush.
Yes.
But that's developed in Japan.
Oh yeah, fair point.
Yeah.
But it would have fit a lot.
To recap,
those,
what
right?
can I remember that you've answered? You play as a woman, it was released on current gen consoles. It's not first person, it wasn't developed in Japan.
Senua's
part sacrifice. Of a franchise.
It's not an indie game.
Hellblade?
Oh, Hellblade? It might be actually. It might be Hellblade. Oh, no, but that's not part of a
fight. Ghosts.
It's not part of a franchise.
But you kill things,
Hellblade.
And it's not part of a franchise.
Hellblade's all of it except the franchise part, because it was it was published by Sony, but they're an indie developer.
I know.
And Microsoft bought them, but
it's perfect.
Oh, that was we were so close. You guys almost got it.
Should we reveal it?
Should we reveal the game? We're gonna unless we have a guess.
What are we literally gonna guess? That's
Peggle.
No, that's a female avatar.
Hey, I play Peggle. That makes a count.
That's true. That's true. That's in a franchise. It wouldn't be one of the Assassin's Creeds because there's a lot of murder in it.
I don't think we're going to guess it, but I feel really bad quitting.
All right. We're quitting.
Is
we're
it
quitting? Quitting?
Yeah.
Okay. Released in 2015 for everything except Switch, including last-gen consoles. Published by Square Enix. It's episodic.
It's Life is Strange?
Life is Strange.
Yeah, Life is Strange.
I don't think I would have got there.
Yeah, no.
Because the... Yeah.
Yeah.
At one point you said it can't be an adventure game, but it's pretty much an adventure game.
That's where we
game.
Got stuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Damn.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
That was a good one,
that
yeah.
That was a good
that
one.
That was a really, really good game.
We have to add, is it episodic, to our rotation of questions.
Oh, my God.
Well, there aren't that many.
Narrow it down to... 99.99.
My next question is going to be, can we have an extra 10 questions?
It's like a genie.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty good.
I wish for infinite wishes.
Yeah.
People do write us with like cheats sometimes. They're like, you shouldn't ask it this way. You should ask
right,
it this
right,
way.
Right, right, yeah. Like,
but
honestly,
as soon as
the
I
before,
get in front of these lights, I forget.
Like the before 2000, I always like to just ask, like, is it current gen consoles?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. And then one trick that's totally legal, is, and although it wouldn't have helped you this time, is towards the end, it's have we mentioned the game?
Yeah, we do that sometimes. Like,
I love that.
This round.
Yeah,
that's one of my
new
favorites.
One's good.
That one's pretty good.
And also, could it be in this Nintendo Power?
That one's really good. Thank you for the suggestion, Mark, in Starbridge, UK. If you have your own suggestions, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN.com or omegacops@IGN.com. That's all the scoops we have here this week. Thank you, Tina. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Ryan. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop, and we're out.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.